Hi guys, I'm the Gym Babe, also known... No, hold on.
Also known as Richie Swan.
Hi guys, I'm Harriet Jeffrey.
Oh my God, take 20, thought this was going to be the fucking quick bit.
Hi guys, I'm Harriet Jeffries, also known as the Gym Babe, and I'm here with Richie Swan.
Hi.
And we are a girl and a guy in the gym.
Just before we start, I want to say hello to a few people. So I've got Claire on Instagram, helping me get through my warm-up for the marathon training. So thank you. But can I have a two-hour podcast to get me through the other bit? I can relate to almost everything you talk about. So thank you again and keep it coming. Oh, thanks, babe.
Good luck
with the marathon, yeah. That's amazing. Well done. Also want to say hi to Faye, who's messaged us on Instagram. She loves our podcast hat. They make her howl, and she's binged on them over the past 2 days.
Love a little binge.
That's the best binge to have, babe.
This week's episode, we are going to talk about how to get a six-pack. So everything that you need to do when your period gets involved, when your sleep gets involved, what workouts you need to be doing, what you need to be eating, and sometimes genetically whether you just can't get there.
So, babe, why is it so hard to get a six-pack?
I think to actually see abs, your body fat's got to get quite low, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But how low, babe?
Well, on a man, you're looking what? Anything really under 10% is like elite, isn't it? You're talking someone who's probably into serious fitness. And still from 10 to 14%, they're going to have some definition, just not rippling abs. But you still see a little bit.
Yeah, so that's enough for like the average Joe. It's not someone that...
I'd say that's a bit better than average Joe. I think average Joe's probably a little bit higher than that.
Says average where... Joe, not average show.
Hey, I am the average show at the minute.
I know, I'm just seeing you.
I've got me Watsons.
So for girls, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit higher. As women, we need to store a little bit more body fat, obviously, because we make humans and men don't. So for girls, it'd be 15 to 19% is a very, very lean girl. It's the one you see on Insta with a proper six pack. It'd be like an Instagram fitness model or something like that. 20 to 24%, I'd say you'd see maybe oblique lines, which are those lines down the outsides of your belly where it curves into your waist a little bit more. You might have a little bit of an ab at the top, but you'd have a flat stomach and it's something that's a bit more sustainable. So if it's something that you're looking at, realistically, I mean, obviously it's not one size fits all, but for girls, I would aim to get your body fat to between 24 and 20%. Never lower than about 15, 16% realistically for
girls.
It
can actually become quite dangerous for the health if it's that low, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if people want to check the body fat, there's so many different ways. Probably the more accurate ones are the calipers, aren't they? The skin fold test.
Yeah.
We do have Tanita scales, but they're debatable how accurate they are.
You know, if you get your body fat done, like I've done it before, you know, if you go into the gym, you pay £1 and you get your body fat and your weight, that can be so dependent on things like how much water you've drank that day, whether you've just exercised or it's before exercise.
If you've still got your scrunchie in.
You can pay to get a caliper test. Sometimes you can ask a personal trainer to do it, but it just needs to be consistent. So if you get one person to do that body fat percentage test on you, it needs to be the same person again, because it's more likely that they'll do it in the exact method.
In reality, save your money, eat at a sensible deficit, take photos of yourself and you'll see the body fat reduce.
You can see it going down.
If you want abs and that's your goal and you get to it, who cares what body fat percent you are, as long as you got them?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
True, true, babe. Sorry if you just heard a noise in the background then. Richie's having a packet of Watsits whilst we're recording.
I just popped a Watsit in my mouth.
They're only 96 calories.
If you put it on your tongue, it melts, so I don't have to crunch it. So I thought I'd get away with it.
So you might be asking what body fat we are. I would say about 150% body fat, would you, babe?
Yeah, I'd say you are,
Okay.
No, I'd say I was about 18% at the minute. I was 9%
when
I met Connor, it was 9%.
Were you?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about why we store fat on our belly. When you are stressed, you release a hormone called cortisol, and cortisol can sometimes spike in the middle of the night. I know my Luke used to get it when he was doing really, like, really big exams with uni. He'd wake up in the middle of the night because his stress levels were so high all day. It would spike in the night and he'd wake up starving. I don't know if anyone else can relate to that, but waking up in the middle of the night, you're really hungry. It's more common with men than girls, I think. So this cortisol hormone actually promotes fat storage in the belly.
So how'd you get rid of that?
Chill the fuck out, man.
Trying to get better quality sleep can reduce that corner.
Yeah.
Obviously, exercise. You'll find people who are like quite slim, but with destroyed loads of fat around the belly. It is because of that, isn't it? It's the cortisol in the system.
Yeah, so you need to, I would say, managing your stress a little bit better. Sometimes, I know, like, it's quite common after you have a baby and it is slightly different. For the average person, I would say prioritise getting a good night's sleep and managing your stress levels is like one thing to really look at that people don't really ever think about when they're looking at getting a set of abs.
No, but it's so important. Sorry, I'm going to have to... Do you know what? I've been in work since 5:30 this morning. I've literally not eaten all morning except for coffee and I'm literally bouncing off the walls and starving. So you just have to bear with me, babe.
So what will help more, doing a cardio workout or doing an ab workout?
You could run all day, do as many sit-ups as you want all day. If you're eating over your calories, you're never going to get abs. So the best thing to do is eat at a sensible deficit. Obviously, cardio is fat burning. That's going to help shred it. There's other things that are better than doing sit-ups all day.
I would say you'd be better doing deadlifts and squats.
Yeah, heavy compounds.
100%. Cardio-wise, you know, if you're burning more calories and you're dropping your body fat... Boss. As long as you're doing it in a way that makes you feel good, amazing. But you can burn just as much fat and use muscles that you might not be used to using by lifting weights. Yeah. So if it's something that you want to focus on a little bit more and you've never worked with a trainer or something like that, maybe do like a couple of sessions with someone to teach you how to do those lifts that you use and how to engage your core and start using it.
Yeah.
And then you'll see a change a bit quicker. My next question, babe. Does the number of carbs you eat a day matter when you're trying to get abs?
No, as long as you're at a deficit, you can eat whatever you want.
I think it's like that's still that massive trend with people saying like, okay, so no carbs before marbs because you're putting a bikini on, all that type of thing. As long as you're in a deficit with your calories, it doesn't matter. Some people bloat when they eat certain types of foods. What I'd say is sometimes it might not be just certain types of foods unless you've got IBS or a condition or something like that. Sometimes you've just overeaten, babe. And your body can't cope with the amount of water that you've just eaten through the carb and it can't break it down quick enough. And actually, it's not the type of food, it's just that you've been a greedy bastard.
And the same as with protein, Joe, when people say, like, try and have 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. If you haven't had that much protein, I'm one of these people, if I go from having quite low to high, I bloat and it's your system can't break it down because it's quite long to break down the protein anyway. I was like, I was pregnant. I was literally like a balloon. And a lot of people get this. So if you are upping your protein as well, I'd say start slow, maybe build it up.
Going from one extreme to the other, like people go, right, the diet starts Monday, eat terrible all weekend, like eating fast foods and crap all weekend, and then go dead strict on a Monday and cut everything else.
I just can't imagine these type of people.
We're terrible all week.
We went out and we on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, wasn't it? We went to the theatre. I had pasta, chips, I had wine. I vowed on Sunday I weren't drinking again. I was like, it's 7 weeks till Vegas. That, well, went out the window. That leads us on to, can some people just not get abs?
I don't know, because sometimes I feel like with abs, they are really hard to get. You have to really focus on your diet so much that do a lot of people just give up.
I think the answer is, it's how much you want them and it's how much you're prepared to sacrifice.
Even when I was dieting to get married last year, I got to a certain point where I was like, I can survive, feel comfortable, can train, don't have a fuzzy head and feel happy on the number of calories I'm eating. If I dropped them by an extra 50 a day, maybe I would have been able to drop a little bit lower, but I weren't happy. So I had like the lines down the outside of my stomach, like my obliques. But for me, some girls love a set of abs.
Yeah.
I've just never been that arse. I'd rather be toned, have a flat belly and have a nice bum.
And it's not just that. It's like you get to the abs. So your goal is to achieve a look. It's how you feel when you get there. Now, we all know that person who's ripped to death. They don't go out. They have no life. The mood's up and down. It's everything that comes with it. I'd love to have abs, but you know what? I'm not prepared to sacrifice eating out a couple of times a week.
Or Aperol Spritz.
I love an Aperol Spritz and a red wine. I just love anything. Just give us it. But no, I just think we always go back to this, but life's about making memories. Now, if the most important thing for you on your deathbed is to have your last breath going, oh, my memory is I had abs, fucking go for it. Mine's not. Mine's that I was happy every day.
And rotten.
Actually, having blackouts, forgetting where I am. I look back and I remember them days. I can't remember.
Girls always tend to ask us quite often, like, why you get two blisters when you come on and stuff like that. Now, like, that's a big topic within itself. But when you approach coming onto your period and stuff, and you start to get a little bit more bloated and that, I know it's quite common. Sometimes girls get quite constipated as well. Richie's reaching for them fucking waters again. Just take one now.
I know, it was making a noise. I just need to tip them.
You're
to
that person in
I
the
need
cinema.
To tip them to the edge of the bag so I can get easy access.
So when you're due on, you bloat, and hormone changes in your body mean that you sometimes cling on to water. It's dead, dead, dead common for you to lose your definition in your abs, and you get a little bloated pot belly and you feel a bit grim. And all I'd say is, don't worry about it. When you're due on and you're on your period, stick to your diet as normal. Stick to your calories as normal. If you feel like you need to have a bit of chocolate or you're craving a little bit more, then allow yourself to have it. Just include it in your calories for the day. Fine. Don't worry about it. Don't overthink it. Obviously, the more nutritious food you get into you, the better. If you have a bit more protein, you stay full for longer. But if for that one day or that couple of days, your calories need to be made up of some chocolate, some crisps, maybe a glass of wine, and it's overall what you're going to do to kind of like get through having another horrible period, then do it. And your abs will come back in a couple of days when you start to lose the water weight, and when you start to come off, you'll feel a million times better. So yes, the chances are you probably will lose your abs when you have your period, but yes, they'll come back in a few days.
Okay, so basically how to get a six pack is being realistic, isn't it? On what you're prepared to sacrifice, because it is a sacrifice to get to that. So if you're happy to not have nights out, not socialise, not have a drink, not enjoy your food, then you can get there. But if you like doing all them things, make your memories and just have a flat stomach instead of rippling abs. I think a flat stomach's nicer anyway.
I think, you know, on fellas, I've never found like a fella with a pure six pack dev fit.
No. I'm only saying this because I haven't got it.
No.
It's much sexier not to.
Here's another time Luke's going to kick off at me and go, why? Because everyone's going to just know I haven't got one now. Okay, guys, so at the end of every podcast, we're going to answer a couple of your questions. You can get in touch with us on Twitter and Instagram at GailGayGym. So Sophie sent us a little message on Insta and she said, love your podcast. Think your clients are so lucky to have people like you telling them how it really is. Oh. Thanks, babe. Your episode with Sarah really stuck with me. Stuck with us too, didn't it?
Yeah.
We love you, Sarah. Okay, so Sophie's messaged us and she said she signed up to a half marathon as like a goal to reach.
Yeah.
She's asked for any tips for outdoor running.
I hate running.
Do you, babes?
I hate it.
My first thing would be get trainers suitable for your feet, because one of the things with running is it can really, really hurt your knees and really hurt
sensible
your
hips. Running shoes.
That doesn't mean going into a shop and buying the most expensive ones. There's loads of different shoe shops and stuff the way you can go, and you actually get like a gait assessment. And they make you walk on a treadmill for a minute and then we'll find you.
You'll see
all
if
the
you've
trainers.
Got pronation in your feet or not, and trainees are out, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're in Liverpool, there's a shop on, I think it's Dale Street, that does it. But otherwise, literally Google your area and Google where can I get a gait assessment. It's G-A-I-T. So that'll be the first thing, get the right shoes for you.
There's a good app, isn't there, Couch to 10K, if you've never run before, that you can go on and download, and that'll break it down day by day, isn't it? So you're gradually building it up rather than going straight in and trying to do half a marathon straight away, and next minute your knees are done, your back's done, everything's in agony.
I'd say pace yourself and give yourself enough time that's realistic to fit in with your schedule.
Also, what's amazing is if you just listen to our podcast to distract you, we've got like, I think this is like 9 or 10 now, you've got loads. That'll get you through for ages, won't it?
I was going to say good music, but like you could just listen to us.
Okay, so Kate's message to us on Instagram. Hi guys, love your podcast. Makes my daily commute bearable. So her question to us is, how important is it to have a rest day and how many should I take? It's all dependent, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like when it comes to weight training, I always say, like if you do your legs one day, leave them alone for a day to recover, because you end up affecting your results if you were to train the same muscle group twice, 2 days on the run.
I think weight training, I don't do more than 4 sessions a week.
Yeah, I do about 4 a week now.
Yeah. I think mainly because for most of us, we're not athletes. We just do it to make ourselves feel better and to feel good. So having a nice balance. But for you, if you're someone that likes prefers doing cardio or whatever type of training that you prefer to do, as many days as you feel comfortable with doing whilst not exhausting yourself and just making sure that you've got a nice balance.
Yes, listening to your body. If you feel like you're tired, you're fatigued and you're not able to perform, then you're obviously in need of a rest. It's like some people go to our classes, don't they? And you're like, when's your rest day? And they're like, but this is, that's what, it's just what they do to switch off.
Every person, every body, every lifestyle, it's and every different. Situation's different. So
and sometimes deload, you can go and do something just at a low intensity.
Yeah, definitely. I would say listen to your body, make the choice, but then also don't let yourself be a lazy bastard if you know you're just being a lazy bastard.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
And that's a wrap.
You've been listening to Hattie Jeffries, also known as the Gym Bird, and Richie Swan, also known as Richie Swan, on A Girl and a Gay in the Gym. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, rate, and review it on Apple Podcasts now to help more people hear about it. And don't forget to follow the socials at Girl Gay Gym on Instagram and Twitter.